This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. 75 years ago today, Americans absorbed the shocking news of the bombing of Pearl Harbor through grainy radio broadcasts like this.
One moment, please.
1, 2, 3, 4. Hello, NBC. Hello, NBC. This is Honolulu, Hawaii. We have witnessed this morning a severe bombing of Pearl Harbor by enemy planes, undoubtedly Japanese.
The bombing of the U.S. naval base in Hawaii thrust America into war on two fronts, and for nearly everyone, it meant the world as they knew it would never be the same. VPR's Nina Keck reports that people who were alive then have strong memories of the surprise Sunday morning attack on Pearl Harbor and how it shaped their lives.
The story of Pearl Harbor is a personal one in my own family. 7-year-old Janet Heyman Keck, my mom, was there. She says that Sunday morning started out like any other.
We got up and we were going to church, and I was going to Sunday school. I remember that.
Her father, Commander Claude Heyman, was a Navy pilot on the staff of the USS Tennessee, stationed at the base near Honolulu. When the bombing started, the family of three was at home together.
And there was a terrific amount of noise, just big explosions, like something had blown up, foom, foom. And there were in the area a couple of bombs that fell in town. And I do remember hearing the whistling and just seeing, kind of panicky, and mainly because I saw, you know, my mother panicky and the adults around me panicky, and that whistling was a terrible, worse than the booms.
By 8 a.m., hundreds of Japanese fighter planes were dropping bombs in an attack that would go on for several hours.
We turned on the radio, and this poor announcer was saying, like, and almost, this is an enemy attack. All military personnel, get to your bases.
At that point, my mom says her father, who was still dressed in his best white linen suit, left the house and drove to the naval base. It would be almost 2 weeks before they heard from him again. While my grandfather survived the attack, more than 2,000 military personnel and civilians did not. My mother and millions of others listened anxiously the next day as President Franklin Delano Roosevelt declared war.
We all got together in one pretty big room, and we had a radio, and I remember most of the other wives came, and the men were gone by that time, into our room when Roosevelt gave his speech. I'm going to have to take a break a minute.
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. The United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan.
Rutland resident Lasita Cook was 18 and living in Hartford, Connecticut, when she heard that speech. She says the day before, she'd been on a church group outing when their bus driver broke the news about Pearl Harbor.
Usually we do a lot of chattering and laughing and talking. Nobody said a word. It was like getting kicked in the gut. Pearl Harbor. From then on, just our world was going to be different. Half the kids were talking about whether they're going to join the Navy, the Air Corps. They got to join one of the services. They were that gung-ho to get into this battle.
Cook was no different. She enlisted in the Women's Army Corps when she turned 20 and served in the South Pacific in New Guinea.
We were mostly secretaries. You know, every outfit has to have a headquarters, and every headquarters has to have paperwork.
Cook shows me several photos of herself in uniform. In one, she's holding a rifle. She was an excellent shot, she says, nodding.
But we didn't have guns. I guess I thought we were going to have guns. I'd love to have been in the Army now. Gee, what a difference.
Donald Shedd of Wallingford was 19 when Pearl Harbor was attacked. Even before the bombing, the looming war had affected his family. Shedd's father had sold their farm in Center Rutland to take a job with a defense contractor in Connecticut. That's where Shedd, his two brothers, and two sisters were living when they heard about Pearl Harbor.
I know as soon as we knew what was going on over there, us three boys were deciding what to do. Everybody was joining, And we had to wait till Paul was 18 so he could join us. So it was February when we finally joined the Marines.
All three boys ended up in the South Pacific, and all three were wounded in action. Bob in New Britain, Paul during the Battle of Guadalcanal, and Donald on Peleliu. But all three made it home. Lasita Cook had to fight off dengue fever, but she too was able to return home after the war. Her beloved older brother Kenneth Gregg was not so lucky. He was an Army Air Corps lieutenant and just 21 when he was killed in a plane crash in 1943. December 7th is a day she'll never forget, says Cook, but she prefers to remember August 15th, the day in 1945 when the war in Japan ended. She says it's hard to describe the sense of relief people felt.
Just the opposite of Pearl Harbor. This great giant thing had been lifted, and no more guys were going to kill and be killed in Japan. And they gave us a day off. We're not working today.
She picks up a photo of her brother in his pilot uniform. His face looks impossibly young. She tells me even after all these years, she still thinks about him and misses him. My grandfather was also killed in 1943, rescuing his men from a fire in their military quarters. He received the Naval and Marine Corps Medal for his heroism. My mom has it hanging in her bedroom. For VPR News, I'm Nina Keck.